We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sidney. I love you so much.
Good morning, yesterday. You wake up and time has slipped away. And suddenly it's hard to find the memories you left behind. Remember, do you remember? The laughter.
1 year ago today, the last time my dad ever sang Happy Birthday. On this Monday morning, a bit somber, I get it, but this is the first birthday in the 54 years now I've spent on this planet without my father. He did pass away about 3 months after my 53rd birthday last year in July, as you all know, of course. And I figured I would play that a couple of times today in memory of my father on this special birthday. My mother is also celebrating a birthday today. That's quite a gift. You know, some husbands bring home flowers and some husbands bring home an assortment maybe of candy or a gift certificate or plane tickets. Nope. 54 years ago today, my father gave my mother me.
It's a hell of a present.
Yeah, and they've been paying for it ever since. So I did get a call from Naomi at about 6:15. She has no idea what's going on. You would think my mother, I've been doing this now for about 22 years, you'd think my mom would know that I'm on the air, but she doesn't care. So I had to tell her, whisper, "Mom, I'm on the air with Frank and Juliet. Bernie's coming up soon. I'll call you later." And happy birthday, Mom. I think she's listening right now somewhere up in White Lake / Conneaugh Lake, New York, 6 miles outside of Monticello. So, Mom, I love you. Mommy is what I really call her. I love you. Happy birthday. I love you, too. Bernie, good morning. How are you,
Good morning, pal? Sidney. Happy birthday. I love you, too. My brother, happy 54th. Hope it's every bit as successful and exciting as was the year you turned 53.
It was an exciting year.
It was very exciting. Listen, there was loss.
Yeah, that was it.
There was loss. Was there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But that's part of life.
It is. So I'm going to play that 3 or 4 times today, and then that's going to be it. And that's it. You know, I put you through the whole summer last year with my father, and now it's his birthday. But maybe one more time in June. His birthday is actually June 9th. But otherwise, that's it. On a brighter note.
Yeah, and by the way, my, you know, birthday congrats to Naomi as well.
Thank you.
Mrs. Rosenberg, you. As yes. I call her.
She's listening right now, and she appreciates that. Yeah. She loves you. My father really loved you. You guys had a great Facebook relationship.
Yes, we did. Oh, I loved Harvey. I don't know your mother as well as I know Harvey, even though I never actually met him.
You never met either one of them, right?
No.
Remember the one time they were on Imus?
I don't think I did.
Oh, my God. They were on once.
We had them on our show a couple of times.
Well, the last time they were on our show was 4 years ago when I turned 50. We had the cake in the studio and Jill actually booked my mom and dad. It was a very emotional show when I turned 50. But Imus had him on in like 2002. And as only he would, he savaged both my parents on the phone.
Nice.
No, your son's really a moron. What? What are you doing, Imus? By the way, he's not going to send me a birthday message today. You know why? Because he's dead.
Listen.
Which is something he would say, just so you know.
Exactly right.
Right?
Exactly what he would do and say. So don't get upset out there. That's what the Iron Man was all about.
Maybe Wyatt will send me something. I don't know. What do you think?
I doubt it. I think they hate us all.
You think so?
Yeah. I think they all hate us.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
That's all right.
It's okay. Well, you sent me a beautiful text this morning. Screw the Iron Man. God rest his soul. You sent me a beautiful
text
this morning.
That's right. I was
with a lot of emojis, and it was unprovoked.
It was. I was probably the first.
You were one of the very first. Yes,
right. It was early in the morning.
A couple of people actually came through right after midnight. I was fast asleep.
Oh yes,
yes. And then Gene, my cab driver, this wonderful guy. Do you see that bag on that second desk right there, Bernie?
I do. Wow.
That bag is filled with all these fine
liquors. What's her name? Oh.
We got to bring it in here at one point, and just maybe Meanie or Sarah will help us with this. But my cab driver slash driver, Gene, who now shows up all times of the day. If I have to go to the airport, I have to go to work. Sometimes the guy sits out there for like 30 minutes. This guy has a beautiful gift for me today. He's a cab driver.
Wow, and they're hurting too. These cab drivers, these cabbies?
Yes.
I mean, this is like a regular yellow taxi?
Yes.
They are hurting, and he's still.
Yeah. Wow. Isn't that unbelievable?
Well, you must take care of him nicely.
I do a nice job for him, yes. But he's a wonderful, wonderful man. So thank you again. My Instagram, at Sid Rosenberg. My Twitter, at Sid Rosenberg. My Facebook page, Sid Rosenberg. Our page, at It's Bernie and Sid on Instagram, at Bernie and Sid on Twitter. Loaded with messages. I'm just going to say this quickly, and we'll get the birthday stuff out of the way here. I cannot answer everyone. So if I don't answer you individually, just know that I read every single message. I love every single message. I don't love any more than the other, except for the famous people. What?
Well, I mean, you can't take the time out to say.
Bernie, I've got thousands, literally thousands of happy birthdays.
Put aside a couple of hours, skip the workout, and respond to your loyal listeners and your fans.
I don't think I'm going to do that.
You're not gonna?
No, but I did respond to like Jim Kerr because he's a Hall of Famer.
Right. Oh, here we go.
Tiki Barber.
We go. Only the names. The rest of you peons out there.
No, that's not right. That's not true. Yeah, that's not. Well, it's a little bit true, but
you're a busy guy. A busy guy. That's all.
We are busy, both of us. We got a whole weekend of news to get to, and a lot of it ain't good. That's the bottom line. My birthday's good news. The rest of it, not such good news, which Lowry's going to stop by today. Our friend Monica Crowley will stop by today. The number is always 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. I did get an early morning tweet, happy birthday from this man, giving us the traffic at 6:37, our dear friend Joe Nolan.
And I got a response, so I must be right up there.
Yes.
On top. I got a response. I'm impressed.
Pete Morgan checks in. He says, look, lots of people bet against you making 40, for Christ's sake. Celebrate it. And Bo Deedle with a beautiful birthday message this morning. I love you too, Bo. 6:43 on your Monday morning. Oh, I like this song. This is Wham and the late, great George Michael. All right, buddy, the question is, did you wake up on Saturday morning and do what millions and millions and millions of Americans and people around the world did, which was watch the Prince Philip funeral? I did. I thought the church was beautiful. Dying to go to St. George's Church. I thought for the most part it was a very moving and lavish ceremony. I don't like the royals. I don't get the whole curiosity, but I thought it was a lovely service.
Dude, Boris Johnson, negative. I did not watch a second. Totally, I slept in and then forgot about it. Maybe it was on when I woke up, but I completely and totally forgot about it. I did watch The Crown over the weekend, though, but from what I understand, it was uneventful. There's rumors that William asked for somebody to stand between him and Harry.
No, that's not rumors. That's true. You could see the picture in today's New York Post.
No, I know they did. Somebody did do it, but yeah. The rumors are that William requested it.
Yeah, he's mad at him. Yeah. Bottom line.
Well,
I know that
he should be.
William's wife, Kate Middleton, she is supposedly the peacemaker. She kind of stepped in to try to get the brothers to make peace. Harry, by the way, already on his way back to Los Angeles because Meghan Markle is pregnant. He's coming home today. But according to everything I saw and read, the issue between William and Harry, that is a real deal.
Yeah, of course. Well, yes, of course. They he blew off the royal family, his duties. They take it seriously. Again, stipulated that I think the whole thing is ridiculous. It's an anachronism, this royalty, this idea that we're superior to everybody else. They live off the taxpayer's dime. The counter argument is, hey, they bring in tourism. Okay, fine. All that stipulated. I did read that the person in question who made the remarks about what color do you think the baby's going to be? How dark is the baby going to be? I read that it was Princess Anne.
Really?
Princess Anne, yes, which is one of she's one of Elizabeth's daughters.
Right. I don't know where she falls in terms of the age group.
I know exactly where she falls.
Right.
She's about she's pushing 70, something
okay.
like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was the offending supposedly, according to what I read. But anyway, I wish they had gotten into some sort of fist fight, you know, during the procession.
That would have been nice.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, even drop the casket. And
oh, my God.
Or something really horrible. I would have hoped for something like that, but it didn't happen.
No.
Everything seemed to be peaceful. It's all behind the scenes. And that's that. It's just another – it's just a stupid soap opera, silly soap. It's fun to watch on Netflix, but it's time to really dissolve the royal family.
Talking about Netflix, I watched a show yesterday on Amazon Prime, which I had no idea was getting so much play. I actually saw two things this weekend. I want to talk about them both. One, a movie called Nobody, and one called Them. And I'll have the critique on both of those, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, which Larry comes your way at 7:25, Liddy reports at 8:25.
And it sounds just like a song. I want more berries and that summer feeling. It's so wonderful and warm.
Thank you for that, Chris Breathe Libertini. 6:52 on your Monday morning. My 54th birthday today. I mean, nobody cares, but I do. So, you know, I'm wondering why we often talk about, you know, Donald Trump every day. We've talked about some of the things that he said and did, and he was constantly taken to task. I saw what the New York Post did today, and it's hard to argue if you saw MSNBC yesterday with all the nonsense that President Trump had to go through. And we both agree that the majority of the time, the overwhelming majority of the time, he would just be punching back. He would just be defending himself. How does he go through all that, and yet Maxine Waters still has a job? Somebody explain to me how somebody who's standing out in the middle of Brooklyn Center in Minnesota, egging people on to commit violence, who has actually said time and time again and tweeted, go out there basically and wreak havoc. How does that person, I know she's black and she's a woman, I get it. I really know the answer already, so it's not a real question, but how does she get away with this, Bernard? How?
Yeah, it's really, again, as you mentioned, 2018. Get up in their face. You see them at a restaurant, a gas station. Get all up in their face and shove them around or whatever the hell she said. And yes, over the weekend in Milwaukee, this woman at a Black Lives Matter rally saying, you know, already prejudging the case, inciting people to violence. You know, listen to what she said.
Looking for a guilty verdict. If nothing does not happen, then we know that we've got to not only stay in the street, but we've got to fight for justice. We've got to get more confrontation. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
We've got to get more confrontational, is a quote, is what she said. If the verdict comes down, well, innocent or less than second-degree murder. By the way, he only faces, for second-degree murder, does Derek Chauvin, 12 years.
I saw that. Why is that? Seems like a low number.
I don't know. Well, look, they make the laws in Minnesota.
That's true.
Let's ask Keith Ellison that question.
Yeah.
You know what? When you start burning down buildings, mm-hmm. ask the people who run your state why they have such lenient sentences for a charge like second-degree murder. Don't ask us, and don't burn our buildings down. Burn Keith Ellison's house down if you're going to burn anything down because of you know, the light sentence that this guy's going to get.
You know, you would like people to just go about their business, whether it's a guilty verdict, an acquittal, a manslaughter, whatever it is. You would like to see people go about their business. And again, I already know I'm a hypocrite. I get it. Don't bother tweeting, yelling, and screaming. I get it. I did watch the Knicks last night, and they were great. And they're an unbelievable story. Six-game winning streak, four games over 500 after 58 games. Nobody could have predicted this. Nobody. But the fact that the NBA comes out yesterday and says, we are ready, willing, and able to cancel, postpone games, shut this thing down based on the verdict. What that says to me is they're already, again, they're doing it again after last year's nonsense in the bubble in Orlando. They're already throwing flames on the fire, telling people we're going to be pissed off. We're not going to work.
In other words, it doesn't matter what the evidence says. It doesn't matter what the jurors think after having heard the evidence, after having sat through all the evidence that came in. And by the way, it only takes, as you know, one juror to say not guilty. That's it, just one juror, and there's a not guilty verdict. Or if they get second degree manslaughter, they're also telegraphing that that's not enough. The New York Yankees are inciting violence just as much as Maxine Waters. And it really is gross. And it couldn't be, please me better that the Yankees suck this year. I tell you, if this
suck. Right now, they've got the worst record in the American League. Only the Colorado Rockies have a worse record than the New York Yankees in all of Major League Baseball.
Now, this verdict can come down as early as, say, tomorrow. The opening arguments for the defense and the prosecution conclude today. They open and they conclude today, from my understanding. And then, yes, tomorrow starts the deliberations. The jury actually, maybe tonight, the jury is actually going to be sequestered to start, you know, figuring this all out. So we could have a big problem on our hands, not just in Minnesota or in, you know, the Twin Cities and environs out there, but right here in New York City. This is bad. Minneapolis can burn, but so can New York. We saw what happened last summer. I mean, we were right in the middle of it, you and I. It was disgusting, and it's pretty bad. We'll have more on it coming up. I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the people who are what they're saying out there. People like even Don Lemon said about the kid that got shot in Chicago. And Fredo Cuomo,
he's an idiot.
That disgrace, what he said about the, about the police shootings in general.
Yeah, we got that. Chris Cuomo really embarrassed himself again. Again. Who cares? 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Rich Lowry coming up next hour. Monica Crowley in the 8 o'clock hour. Quickly before we get to the meat of the day, Bernie, I woke up this morning, I felt fat. I felt fine yesterday. In fact, I felt pretty strong yesterday. Woke up this morning, just a day later, really no difference. And knowing I had turned 54 4 hours prior, I felt fat. I'm like, oh no, I can't do this. This is what girls do, what women
you
do.
Felt
yeah.
fat.
I felt fat, yeah. I did.
All right.
Nothing changed other
I
than...
mean, literally with your fingers, or you just felt... You felt bloated.
I felt like I'm getting fat.
Maybe it's that time of the month for you.
I don't know. I think the change of the calendar is something I don't usually do. I don't care about birthdays in terms of ages.
Right.
I know I look great for my age. It's fine. But I felt fat this morning.
Okay.
So now I think maybe I'm turning into one of these people that I can't stand. People that birthdays come and they get all, oh, God, I'm old. Shut up. And now today I felt fat.
Well, listen. Do something about it.
What am I going to do?
Cut back on the Mickey D's in the morning.
Oh, by the way, who's getting me McDonald's now that Bernie brought that up? John O'Halloran is out today.
We have Sarah here.
Oh, the lovely Sarah.
So maybe
yeah.
she could do it.
One quick call. I'm going to start cutting down on that after today. Today's her birthday. Janine is in, or Jeannie is in Queens. She's on line two this morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Hi there.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Hey,
happy birthday, dear Sid. Happy birthday to you.
Well, that was really, really lovely. Thank you
very
for that.
Very sweet.
Thank
You're
you.
You're very welcome. Now, regarding the police, may I speak one moment?
Sure.
I really support our police. I want them to be here, and I'm so upset that we're losing them because of all this fanning of the flames. Is there any way to set up a website where people can write in to just say what they feel about how good they feel about the police, how they support them, good stories, good feelings, and so forth. Something, because we're just letting this get carried away. I don't want to lose my police because of these incidents.
No, you're absolutely right. Jeannie is her name. I don't see it. Jeannie, thank you for the call, and you're right. It takes us into the police had a bad weekend here, another bad weekend here in New York City. They had one guy was stopped in Flatbush. He was stopped a routine traffic stop. He gets out of the car. As he's getting out, the cop's like, why are you getting out of the car? Anyway, take a listen to it.
Oh,
problem. Do you have your license registration with you today?
No.
Yeah, roll on the window. It's a little dark over there, sir. You got curtains over the window? You have your license registration with you?
Hold on.
What are you getting out for?
Huh?
What are you getting out for?
I got a book in my wallet.
Well, it's not out. That's fine. You can open the door for me. Oh, get out.
So, boom, he throws a glass of bleach at the cop, and then he drives off, and he crashes. Well, before he crashes, he throws a Molotov cocktail at a squad car. Then he crashes, and he gets arrested, right? So this is just another lowlife. And by the way, he wasn't a white supremacist, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
All right, just
right.
FYI.
Right.
That's part of the problem. But speaking of white supremacists, another bad incident for the cops. I told you last week about these spoiled white kids, these punks on the Upper East Side. It was actually like 5th Avenue and 77th Street. They're writing stuff, they're spray painting stuff, kill cops, F the cops. Well, it turns out one of the kids they arrested, 23-year-old Michael Bucknavage from Mamaroneck, New York. This guy is a 23-year-old. He's a teacher. He's a New York City school teacher. I don't know what grade because I haven't found out yet. But he was actually arrested last July for assaulting a cop down at Madison Square Park. Here he is again resisting arrest. He's caught with a can of spray paint in his hand. These people are defacing, again, this F the cops with this anti-cop graffiti. And he assaults the cop. He resists arrest. And he gets cut loose. A Manhattan criminal court judge, Ann Thompson, says, you know what? We don't need any bail. Get out of here. Go ahead. Go home. Go home to Mamaroneck. And he still has his job. He makes 60 grand a year. At 23 years old, he makes 60
grand.
Go home
to mommy.
He makes 60 grand a year.
Unreal.
Which is about 10 or 15 grand more than a rookie cop makes.
Right.
And he's 23 years old, fresh off of the campuses of academia where he was totally brainwashed.
I'm the boss.
That's another story we'll get into about the teacher who wrote the letter about that school where, by the way, people like Tina Fey and Chelsea Clinton send their kids. They don't send them to the public schools. They send them to these fancy private schools. But that's another story. Back to the issue at hand here, the protests against these police shootings. Believe it or not, Don Lemon actually defended the cops in Chicago for shooting this 13-year-old who was he was a gang member. One of his nicknames is Lil Homicide. Just FYI.
Lil Homicide.
Yeah, Lil Homicide.
I mean, come on.
The guy's running with a gun in his hand. So anyway, Don Lemon, of all people, he's talking to Fredo. And we'll take a listen.
You know, not all police shootings are equal.
Nope.
And it's really tough when you look at that video. If I'm a police officer out there, if I'm anyone out there, and there's been a shooting and someone is running, and you see that there's a, regardless of a 13-year-old's life gone, tragic. But if someone's running with a gun and they turn around, police officers have to make decisions in split seconds.
So how's the hell has frozen over? And you know, Fredo's there, as he normally does with Don Lemon. Yep, you're right, Don. Doesn't know which way Don Lemon's going
to
go. If Don Lemon had said those cops should be charged with murder,
he would have said,
yep, right, Don. Yep.
Didn't he say something this weekend, and maybe you've got it, I don't want to steal your thunder, where he said that about white people. White people are the reason why. What was the exact thing he said? It was very racist. Yeah, you got that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. But okay. Fredo Cuomo, that's
Fredo's the one who said that.
Right.
About the white people.
Fredo's the one who said this about the white. Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about Don Lemon.
No, Fredo.
Fredo Cuomo actually said yes. He says you're not going to be. Well, listen, take a listen.
Gun laws, access to weapons. Oh, yeah, I know when they'll change. White people's kids start getting killed. White kid, oh, big family, that house over there, those start piling up. What is going on with these police?
All right, please.
Oh, what? Maybe we shouldn't even have police. That kind of mania, that kind of madness, that'll be you.
Because he's a slimy little punk, this Fredo.
I haven't said bad words on this station really since John and Margo bought it, out of respect for them because they're beautiful, lovely, religious people. I'm going to say this just once. It's my birthday. Chris Cuomo's a jerk off.
Right. Indeed. And a lot worse. Of course, when white kids start not complying and perpetrating crimes in the numbers that black kids do, that will happen. And it will be justified, whatever. If that kid was white in the kid that jumped in the car
yeah.
out in the Brooklyn Center, Dante
yep.
Wright,
yep.
If he was white, he would deserve to get shot as well.
Of course.
Same, if there was a white kid running down a block, and by the way, that kid wasn't black. He was Latino.
Yeah. But there was a white kid that was shot last week by the police who also resisted arrest. White kid.
Plenty of
shot
them.
By police.
There's more white people shot by police unarmed than there are blacks. Always has been. Twice the amount normally is what it turns out to be. But again, it's a problem. This is the conversation we should be having. Why is it happening to black kids? Now, none other than President Obama, he agreed with Candace Owens on this particular. First, listen to Candace Owens, what she says about the problems with the black family and why so many blacks black males commit a number of crimes disproportionate to the population. Candace Owens.
The biggest issue facing black America is father absence. We have children that are growing up without their fathers in the home. The single motherhood rate in the black community today is 74%. 74% of our children are growing up without a father in the home. You're 9 times more likely to end up in prison. You're 6 times more likely to drop out of high school, and you're 12 times more likely to lead a life of poverty. Why is nobody talking about father absence, and why do we keep being silenced when we actually do?
Now, the Daily Beast actually labeled her, after that and other comments, a tool for Republican racists. But President Obama, this is President Obama in the year 2008. Listen to him.
Too many fathers are MIA. Too many fathers are AWOL. Missing from too many lives and too many homes. They've abandoned their responsibilities. They're acting like boys instead of men. You and I know this is true everywhere, but nowhere is it more true than in the African-American community. We know that more than half of all black children live in single-parent households. We know the statistics that children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime. They're 9 times more likely to drop out of school. 20 times more likely to end up in prison.
Commit crimes and not comply. Not comply because they don't have a father. And that's just part of the problem. But he wouldn't say that today. He wouldn't say that when he put out the statement.
No.
Just one little comment, say, please don't resist. Please don't resist. And by the way, I have more. I have Denzel. I have Don Lemon from back in the day. All saying the same thing. We don't have time right now to play it.
We'll get to it, though.
Yeah,
we'll
but I have it, and believe me when I tell you, that is the tough conversation to have about race. That's what's happening in the black. That's what's happening with the police is the noncompliance and the fact that young black males are committing all these crimes. Now, why is that happening? Well, you heard Obama. You heard Candace Owens. That's the reason why, and I think Don Lemon knows it, too, because he said it. About 10 years ago. Maybe I'll play it later.
All right. So Gene, my cab driver, my morning driver, he did, I opened up the bag here. This is a very, very big time Haitian drink called Barbancourt. Have you heard of that?
I have not, but it sounds good.
A huge deal. And look at the size of this Rotor champagne bottle that he gave me this morning. This is my cab driver. Oh.
Spectacular.
This is unbelievable. Gene, I love you. I love, love, love you.
Yeah, I love. Look, the Haitian people. Remember we had a Haitian friend and worked at the salad store we went to?
Yes.
Working his ass off.
That guy was
two
great.
Two jobs. He was working like 18 hours a day to get his make enough money to get his daughter to come from Haiti to here.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, this is the kind of people that the Haitian people are. They're great people.
Great people. Coming up in a couple of minutes here, the editor from the National Review. He's always a great Monday guest, Rich Lowry. We're also going to hear from Lydia in the 8 o'clock hour, Monica Crowley in the 8 o'clock hour, 9:40. Beat Bernie, brought to you by Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Boilers. Happy birthday, Mom, and thank you to my sister, Alana, for that lovely text. It is a birthday Monday here on Bernie and Sid, and we'll be right back with Rich Lowry right after this.
These are a bunch of scumbags.
That's right.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Still celebrating my birthday with my dad, even though he's gone now. And my mom, it's her birthday today as well. I love you, Mom. They owe me somewhere up there in upstate New York. I do want to congratulate Jerry, Matt Meany's mom. Meany's brother, RJ, had a baby, and little Cole I did see Matt holding little Cole in an Instagram picture. That was a lovely picture.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations to you and your family.
Thank you.
And also a special shout-out with love to John and Margot Katsimatidis, who just sent me a lovely text wishing me a happy birthday. We'll have dinner, actually, tomorrow night. So, well, thank you to everybody as the meetings and greetings continue to come in on this Monday morning. It is time for a weekly conversation. He's the editor of the National Review, also writes for Politico. His columns are syndicated all over the world, including here the New York Post. He's also great on NBC, often on with Chuck Todd on Meet the Press. It's Rich Lowry. Rich, good Monday morning. How are you, buddy?
Hey, happy birthday.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It is my birthday. Things are all good for me, but not so good for the rest of the country. You know, we're kind of waiting on pins and needles now with the closing arguments today in Minnesota. The NBA has already announced they're ready to cancel games based on the verdict. What do you expect will come out of Minnesota with this Derek Chauvin verdict?
Well, I think the best case for Chauvin is that there is a hung jury. Just because you get one or two jurors who aren't willing to convict on anything. And I think if that happens, much of cities will be engulfed in rioting. I mean, it's clear the writing's on the wall in that regard. I think it's likeliest they get him on something, some sort of manslaughter charge. I think it's just hard to get around the fact that they should have got him up on his side at some point, and when he was non-responsive and didn't have a pulse, they should have rendered aid. I just think that whatever else you think about what happened, it's hard to get around that. I think it'll be hard for the jury to get around that.
Yes, but even still, Rich Lowry, second-degree murder only carries a 12-year sentence, from what I understand, and that probably will prove insufficient. And you wrote a column entitled, "A Police-Involved Shooting Sparks an Instant Riot, the New Normal Response." How do we get to that point?
Well, it's a lot of enabling. You know, there are denunciations of the Capitol riot, I think rightfully, but if the same people brought an ounce of the same moral outrage every time people burned down buildings, threw rocks at cops, besieged police headquarters after a shooting, even when we don't know any of the facts yet, just as an instant reflex, maybe you'd see less of this. And the evidence suggests it's just a debacle for these communities. It's unclear exactly what the mechanism is, but crime goes up and murder goes up in these communities after you have these sort of anti-police actions. And what likely happens is the police feel besieged, understandably, go on their back foot, do less arrests, and gangbangers and other criminals feel empowered, and then you get more young black men killed. And that's just the huge irony here. There is a study that some progressives were touting a couple weeks ago saying that police shootings went down in cities where there are major Black Lives Matter protest. But then it also said murders went up.
Right.
So if you took this study on its own terms, you save 300 lives from fewer police shootings, but then you lose 1,000 to 6,000 in more murders. Who's going to make that trade? It's crazy.
You know, answer this for me too, Rich, because I'm confused. I'm not nearly as smart as you and or Bernard. I see these calls for impeachment all the time from the left. Somebody on the right says something, impeach, 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 get them out. And here, for the better part now of 4 years, I've been watching this psycho, Maxine Waters, tweet things, say things, literally ask for violence in the streets. She's in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, a couple of nights ago, really egging people on to do some real damage. Please explain to me how this lady continues to serve in our government.
Yeah, total double standard. And I think Republicans, given the precedent of what happened to Marjorie Taylor Greene, this kind of wacky Republican from Georgia who Democrats stripped of her committee assignments, there's no way Maxine Waters is going to serve on a committee if Republicans take Congress. And by that standard, she should, because she is enabling and encouraging violence, and it should be totally unacceptable in our politics.
By the way, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Rich Lowry on the Bernie and Sid show, just raised, I think, almost $250,000, $750,000 for her campaign purposes or whatever. She's very, very popular with people on the right because they singled her out, even though she said some wacky things before she was elected. But back to Joe Biden, I saw a meme watching Joe Biden's presidency is like watching a toddler play with a loaded handgun. And it's very apropos because you have this this Mr. Magoo there invoking the imagery of the Jim Crow era while engaging in a lie about the Georgia voting laws. Speaking of which, you wrote a lengthy column about Stacey Abrams, who does exactly the same. This Stacey Abrams lady is a very dangerous lady, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's a complete font of disinformation. She's been smearing her state for years now. She maintains that the election was stolen from her in 2018, a gubernatorial race. False. She says it's the new Jim Crow. False. She's said all sorts of lies about this current law, but there's no accountability. It's just like Maxine Waters. She's celebrated in the political culture. She's taken seriously on Sunday shows. She's celebrated on magazine covers. You know, she gets Vogue layout spread and a Time magazine cover, and almost nothing she says is true. So, again, just goes to this double standard. And I think, actually, Georgia has backfired somewhat on Democrats. I do think they feel defensive now about the corporate reaction and MLB pulling out the All-Star game. No. But it'd be nice if they just told the truth about what's happening down there.
Yes. Well, the Yanks have the worst record in the American League. And
boycott.
Hey, a lot of people, which I got to tell you, here in New York, a lot of people were pissed at Aaron Boone for giving Aaron Hicks the day off last week.
Yes.
I mean, that was
ridiculous.
Nonsense, no?
Ridiculous. You're professional. Your job is to go up there and, you know, take an at-bat four times a game and stand in the outfield.
Right.
And you can't do it because of this terrible accident in outside of Minneapolis where you know, she shot him accidentally. She was horrified by what she did.
Right.
You know, it's god-awful. But the idea that you have to sit on the bench and mope because of that is absurd.
And what's more absurd...
Also, just this whole sports press tiptoeing around it, saying, oh, it's so great that Aaron Boone...
No, I was going to say, in New York, you've got Ken Davidoff, New York Post, even Ian O'Connor, who's a brilliant writer, giving credit to Aaron Boone because he gave Aaron Hicks a day off.
Which is essentially demonizing police.
100%.
Keep that in mind.
100%. Hey, Rich, you're the best. We love having you Monday morning. Thank you so much, and have yourself a great week.
All right, thanks, Phil.
All right, Rich Lowry. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. An exciting 8 o'clock hour to come your way. Lydia Reports and our friend Monica Crowley. But we'll hit the phones. A lot of nice messages here, plus more Meat of the Day with Bernard. That's coming up next.
If I give up forever to touch you, because I know that you feel me somehow, you're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't want to go home right now. And all I could taste is this moment, and all I can breathe is your life. And sooner or later it's over. I just don't want to miss you anymore.
Ah, the messages keep coming in on this relatively trite birthday, 54, not a real big number. Next year, I guess, 55 bigger, but Congressman Peter King with a nice message. Tim McCarthy, who runs ESPN here in New York, love Timmy. Nice message. My cousin Hanan, Jimmy Orsini, I got your message too. Thank you for that. And Fred Elephant Boy, who's supposed to call in here. Take a couple of quick calls, get back to the news of the day with Bernie. Here is Jolina in New Jersey, line one. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, it's Jolina, but that's all right. I just want to wish you a very happy birthday, and as we say, I'd may have an Esrim.
Okay, thank
do
you very much.
Translate,
yes,
do I
please.
Translate that?
Yes, you do.
Yes.
I'd may have an Esrim until 120.
Yes, I knew that, but the listeners, thank
nice.
You, sweetheart. One more quick one. Thank you for that. Elizabeth is in New Jersey, line three. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. Happy, happy 54th. I want to share with you the significance of 54, chi times three. May you have mucho, mucho luck for the next 54-plus years. I also want to share with you that I just buried my mom last week on the Holy Week. You've all heard the story, and she's now laying in rest next to my late dad. They shared 54 years, lucky years together.
Oh, wow.
And I want to say the significance of 54, and I love your emotions. I love your family. I love all of you, and I want to wish you all a lot of luck.
Oh, my God, what a beautiful message. Sorry about your mom, and thank you for that nice message. One more quick call, Bernard. Again, I mentioned him moments ago. If you're a Howard Stern fan, and I did listen to Howard some yesterday. I know he's a jerk. I know he is, but he had Christopher Mad Dog Russo on, and I wanted to hear that interview about dog doing edibles, and he does. He does them all. He does the uppers. He does the downers. Bernie, dog. You know dog as well as anybody.
It's 2021.
I guess. I was shocked.
It's a free country.
I guess. Here he is, one of the stars of that show, the head of the Whack Pack, really. Fred the Elephant Boy. Good morning, Freddie.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Sydney. Happy birthday to you.
Isn't that nice?
Come on now.
I mean, that was Marilyn Monroe material type.
Yes, that was amazing. You sent me a very nice text, too. You said that they bet against me, Freddie. And who's got the last laugh?
Exactly. Bonnie, I hope you with us. You are amongst royalty. I'm DK Sid Waterpark, the new king of media. It's with your host and author and now an Emmy Award-winning actor.
Thank you for that.
Elephant Boy. Go. Forget Howard Stern. It's Sid Rosenberg.
I don't think Howard's
king of all media.
Well, thank you for that, Bernie.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Well, if I'm the king, then what are you, the queen?
I haven't written a book. I may do so in the future, but
you're not going to write it. You're not going to.
I'm not acting in TV. I did the TV shows, the news shows, but I never acted in a TV show. So, and it's sort of like a movie what you're doing. So you're the king of all media. You're on a radio star. You're everything.
Oh God, I love you. Thank you.
Come on, come on. Hey, listen, if you want to live to 120, you might want to think about taking the coronavirus vaccine. You might want to, or you might not want to.
Well, what good
is
it?
Maybe the side effects in the long run will kill you. I don't know.
What good is it? Because even if I take the vaccine now, I heard this weekend I could take two shots from Pfizer and Moderna, and I may even need a third shot.
A third booster shot, which took me aback.
They got a lot of balls. This is all about money. That's all this is. Well, the flu shot, they're going to keep giving you shots and shots and shots, and you don't need it.
It could be true, could not be true. I don't know. I'm set to get my second shot on Saturday, and I'm going to go through with it. But, the idea of a third shot, plus Fauci said over the weekend, and by the way, this guy, Dr. Fauci, he's the real villain. He's going to turn out to be the real villain of the COVID. He's got blood on his hands. I'll say that. That's right. I'll say that.
But he just texted me a happy birthday.
That's fine. He can do that next year from a federal prison, maybe. But yesterday he said this about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which they're holding up for stupid reasons. But listen to him.
I would think that we're not going to go beyond Friday in the extension of this pause. There will very likely be a decision. I don't want to get ahead of them, but I don't think that they're going to completely cancel because the data are such, at least from what we see, they're looking to see if there are more cases. But as you know, and as we've said so many times, it's an extraordinarily rare event.
So if he says Friday, that means we can expect it maybe in August to come back because this guy's been wrong about everything. And when I talk about him having blood on his hands, of course, his incompetence is now legend. The consequences all around us, as you see, didn't stop all the Sunday morning shows from having him on like he was some sort of hero. F the Nation, Meet the Putz, your boy Chuck Todd. This sneak with George Stephanopoulos, all these people, they had him on yesterday to expound and to share his wisdom, of which he has none. He's been wrong on everything. Now, what I'm going to say is not a wacky conspiracy theory. So it's not hard to follow. This is very, very important stuff. This is about the origins of the coronavirus. Dr. Fauci is partially responsible for it. He, in 2014, the Obama administration actually stopped funding for something called gain of research studies. This is not hard to follow. This is about creating a deadly virus in a lab, animals,
like in China,
like Dr. Frankenstein. These are all these Dr. Frankensteins, like creating a virus in a lab, so you could learn from it. It's very, very dangerous. The Obama administration cut funding for it. Fauci got the funding back. And he was. That's when we were actually subsidizing these studies when this virus escaped from the Wuhan lab because of Dr. Fauci last year. we were actually funding him, and probably the year before, it's probably 2019 when it happened. But he actually wrote in 2011 in the Washington Post, he said that this important information and insights can come from generating a potentially dangerous virus in the laboratory. Mm. He's saying, in other words, it's good to study that stuff. So when Obama took the money away, he got it back, and we were funding it. We were funding this pandemic, essentially.
Right.
So look, this guy, Josh Rogan, and not the actor, he's a Washington Post reporter. He's actually on with Megyn Kelly on her podcast. None of these morons on the Sunday morning shows would ask him about this stuff. It's very important stuff. This guy's a Washington Post reporter. This is what he said to Megyn Kelly about Dr. Fauci, and it really is true. Listen.
The head of the entire field really is Anthony Fauci. He's the godfather of gain-of-function research as we know it. I often talk to scientists who say the same thing. They say, listen, we really want to speak out about this, but we can't do it. Why can't we do it? Well, we get all of our funding from NIH or NIAID, which is run by Dr. Fauci for years and years and years. And so we can't say anything like, oh, gain of function research might be dangerous or it might have come from the lab, because we're going to lose our careers.
So it did come from the lab. Even the former CDC Redfield said it came from the lab. Whether or not it was accidental or intentional, that's the only question. And the fact still remains that China allowed it to spread across the globe. So no matter what, they are culpable. But it's important that Dr. Fauci had his hands. He was involved in creating this very virus, this very pandemic that he continued to lie about and make erroneous decisions that, you know, kids are dead, schools are closed, economy, the New York City's dead. Anyway, one more thing from Washington Post, of all places, reporter Josh Rogan. He said this.
Dr. Fauci, the hero of the pandemic, might also have had a role in the research that may have caused the pandemic. You know, people can't get it through their heads, mm-hmm. but that's the reality. We don't have a media environment where we can have that kind of discussion.
So remember that, ladies and gentlemen. It's more than just his incompetence that caused, you know, your kids to be depressed or maybe dead or whatever the hell it is. Certainly a generation has been ruined because of Dr. Fauci and some of the decisions that he urged the Trump administration to make or states to make last year. He may actually have been responsible for the origins of the virus along with the Communist Chinese Party.
Wow. Hey, congratulations to John Catsimatidis, to his Sunday morning show, Cats Roundtable. Continues to make news almost every Monday now. You can count on something in the New York Post. He had former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on yesterday. We'll have the audio for you later on in today's show, too. Lydia Reports comes your way at 8:25. Beat Bernie comes your way at 9:40. Keep it right here. Celebrate my 54th with us. We are Bernie and Sid.
Even now, when there's someone else who cares, when there's someone home who's waiting just for me, even now I think about you as I'm climbing up the stairs, and I wonder what to do so she won't see that even now.
Marty Idala with a nice birthday message. He has been like excommunicated or something. I don't know. I think he's suspended. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what the hell happened.
Something weird. I don't know. I think he does a show someplace. I don't know. But nevertheless, he sent me a nice birthday message, and we love Artie. So thank you. Thank you for that, Arthur. Here's Jamie, Long Island, line one. Hello, Jamie. How are you?
How you doing, Sid? Happy birthday.
Hey, thank you, brother. Appreciate that very, very much.
Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn myself. I bounced around some of the places that you've gone through, like Wheeler's, Brandon Carr's, Captain Walters. I worked with Guy Mikey Sturace and Coney Island as fireman. You know, I bounced around a little bit before you, though.
And how old are you? I'm just curious.
I'm 64 today.
No way.
Yeah, definitely way. That's what I said. How'd that happen?
You're 54 today?
64.
Okay, yes. Gotcha.
Right. But still, the same birthday.
That's unbelievable. And you were at Captain Walters and all those places?
Oh, yeah. Avenue J and 34th Street, but I bounced around all over the place. I played football and coached in Marine Park.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, it's nice to hear from you, Jamie. Happy birthday to you and many, many, many more. Folks, go to WABCradio.com now and register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House Coffee Mug. Yes, Barry House Coffee is proud to be the official coffee of us, Bernie and Sid in the Morning here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Register now. Good luck winning your Barry House Coffee Mug. Here's more Barry Manilow than a message from my dad coming up next. And this pain inside of me
goes on and on. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sydney. I love you so much.
Good morning, yesterday. You wake up and time has slipped away, and suddenly it's hard to find the memories you left behind. Remember, do you remember the laughter and the tears?
That was my dad a year ago today, the last time. He wished me a happy birthday, so. I had to do that today. I won't do it again. I know you went through a whole very emotional summer with me. So today he did sing me that last year on this day, and I lost him in July. So thank you, Pop, for that. My mom is also celebrating a birthday today. I have no idea how old Naomi is. She doesn't tell anybody. I am 54 today. 8:08 on your Monday morning, your beautiful Monday morning in New York City. And again, I want to thank so many of you, hundreds, maybe thousands at this point. I don't know. Between Instagram at Sid Rosenberg, Facebook Sid Rosenberg, Twitter at Sid Rosenberg. I can't even keep up. Thank you so much for the birthday wishes. And it's only 8 o'clock in the morning. But we've had a great show so far, Bernie and I. 90 minutes of terrific radio, which Larry was great. Still to come this hour, Lydia Reports. The very entertaining Monica Crowley. And coming up at 9:40, Pete Bernie, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders. Your chance at a $100 gift card and a Barry House coffee mug. I did mention the fact that every Sunday now, it seems like John Katsimatidis, who's taking me out for my birthday dinner tomorrow night, him and Margo, thank you for that, he's making news on his Katz Roundtable show. Yesterday, he had former Secretary of State, a guy that Bernie and I like very, very much, Trump's Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, on. And Pompeo, a little kick-ass.
Well, you remember, of course, what I played on Friday, right?
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
This woman who is the actual, represents the United States at the UN, Nikki Haley's old job.
Right.
She actually hates this country. She actually hates the hell out of this country. Her name is Linda Thomas Greenfield. And I played a couple of clips last week, but here's a shortened version. And this is what Mr. Katz was talking to Pompeo about. Listen to her.
Of course, when we raise issues of equity and justice at the global scale, we have to approach them with humility. We have to acknowledge that we are an imperfect union and have been since the beginnings. I've seen for myself how the original sin of slavery weaved white supremacy into our founding documents and principles.
This is the lady that represents the. How do you represent a country you hate? And then lie about. How do you do that? Well, Joe Biden, of course, appointed her. He appointed a lot of America haters in his administration into the DOJ and other places. But this lady represents us at the UN. How are these countries going to respect us and listen to us when she's ceding the moral high ground to them? And then she says this. Take a listen to who she thanks.
Reverend Al Sharpton, thank you for never backing down. Your lifetime of activism is an inspiration to us all.
This Jew-hating, Asian-hating racist, Al Sharpton, unbelievable. This is the woman who again, represents us at the UN. And, of course, to Mr. Katz's credit, he got a great guest, as you point out, Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State. This was yesterday morning. Take a listen.
I heard our ambassador to the United Nations this week talk about our founding as fundamentally corrupt and flawed and not noble and good. I couldn't disagree more. our American ambassador to the United Nations denigrate the founding principles of the United States in America the way that she did this week is truly reprehensible. And if she truly believes that, she ought to resign.
Absolutely.
Nicely done, Mike. That was great. She's not going to resign, of course.
It just illustrates what we have down here. Well, by the way, Joe Biden doesn't know what he's doing. He's a drooling imbecile. He has no idea.
You having a good time, Joe?
Not a clue who he's appointing, and somebody's doing it for him. It's
Javier Baccaria.
Susan Rice and Barack Obama.
Obama's doing a lot of it. Obama and his wife. If you do miss Donald Trump as much as Bernie and I do. And I was never as big a Trump fan as Bernie was or is, but I still loved him, thought he was a very good president, and I miss him dearly. He will be on Sean Hannity's television show later on tonight, Donald Trump.
That is correct. And by the way, that sentiment that lady expressed, she and Barack Obama, for a white supremacist country, okay, we had our problems in the past. Barack Obama was elected twice, two times, a black man by the white vote, for God's sakes. I mean, it's just, he's living proof that we're not what they say that we are. And again, I played the clip of him earlier talking about the real problem in the black community. He won't say it today. He won't tell when he puts out a statement on Daunte Wright. Don't resist. Don't resist. But that's another story. This race obsession, it made it, you know, we talked about it in the schools. Your kids are going through, they're being brainwashed.
Yes.
Your kids, especially your poor son who goes to one of these private schools. But this other parent in this school called the Breer School.
Oh, I know that school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually sent a letter to all the other teachers. He talked about how that, this is what he wrote, partially what he wrote. By viewing every element of education, every aspect of history, and every facet of society through the lens of skin color and race, we are desecrating the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr., who said, by the way, let's not judge people by the color of their skin, judge them by the content of their character. Mm-hmm. And that, somehow or other, now that is a white supremacist notion. Mm-hmm. So this is they're being taught this critical race theory in school. Which, again, I've talked about many, many times. And this comes, by the way, this teacher writing this letter to the other parents comes on the heels of the math teacher at another $54,000 a year school who wrote the same thing. And, by the way, he's no longer teaching at that school.
Right. Well, let me give you some good news, because I often do bring up the fact that both my daughter, Ava, who's brilliant and is getting ready for her senior year, then jet set to college, and my son Gabriel, both being schooled in Manhattan, have been brainwashed and all that. But here's the good news, and I'm hoping this is the case with a lot of young kids across the country. My kids aren't stupid. In fact, they're brilliant, probably brighter than yours. And they're now starting to figure out what's going on. So Gabe, who was, knee-deep, he was in, is starting to question almost weekly now, starts to question a lot of these decisions coming from this current administration. So these kids that were easily indoctrinated when Trump left office and Biden took over are not stupid. And a couple of months in, they're starting to go, whoa,
I certainly
what's
hope
going
so.
On here?
Certainly hope so.
Well, that's, at least in my house, that's the case. And I think a lot of kids are everybody's bit as mine. So they're starting to figure out, whoa. There is something really wrong here, really wrong.
I mentioned to Rich Lowry a good line that I saw online, which is that watching Joe Biden's presidency is like watching a toddler play with a loaded handgun.
That's true.
And it is true.
Yeah.
I mean, he's ruining everything, every single thing. He's destroying this country. Again, he is the Trojan horse that we talked about ad nauseum. He is that Trojan Uncle
I'm
Joe.
The boss.
Yeah, he's going to be moderate. He's going to be a nice guy. Don't worry, we're going to go back to normal. And yet, you get in. We might as well have Sanders and Ilhan Omar as president and vice president. We might as well,
pretty much.
And listen, though, the cowardice is the thing here. The cowardice, the corporations, everybody caving to these lies about the voting laws, these lies about critical race theory, all of this stuff. Thank good on this parent for sending this letter. He got a lot of blowback, though. But either way, he's expressing, there's some backlash to these sentiments. But let's talk about this here. This in Utah, the Republican governor in Utah, he's a Republican in Utah. Now, the Utah Jazz have a policy of giving scholarships that excludes white kids. It excludes white kids, right? And the governor was asked about it. He was on a radio talk show, the Utah governor, and he actually defended it. Listen to this.
The Utah Jazz is excluding white children from consideration for their scholarship program. Do you think this is racist?
Well, I don't think it's racist. In fact, I think it's in response to, unfortunately, some very difficult and racist injustices that have happened in our community for a long time. Looking for ways to lift communities that have been historically and disproportionately impacted isn't racist at all. In fact, it's a great way to overcome racist. And I'm really proud of the Jazz and the great things that they're doing there.
Governor Spencer Cox, does he not sound like some Upper West Side
he
liberal?
Does
he not sound like some
my neighbor
suburban moron with a BLM sign in their on their lawn? You know that all humans, no human is illegal, or sign or something like that.
Utah is tough. I mean, we talk about Minnesota all the time with Tlaib and Omar. Utah, you've got this guy, you've got Mitt Romney. What happened to our friend, the guy whose daughter, the pretty one, was on Fox News, Abby Huntsman?
Abby Huntsman.
John Huntsman is a Utah guy.
Yeah, she went to The View. And,
no, she did, but John is, yeah, is a Utah guy.
I don't know what he was. He was ambassador to China under President Trump. What he's doing now, I don't know. Maybe he's taking care of one of his 10 wives. He's a Mormon, you know. I don't know.
He's a very handsome guy.
I have no idea, but this sentiment out there, the sentiment of this is a white supremacist country, and that your kids should be shamed in school. White kids should be shamed in schools. And of course, and then you have people like this Utah guy, you know, blatantly racist policy on the part of the Utah Jazz, excluding white people. Again, Martin Luther King. Let's not judge people on the color of their skin. Forget the color of their skin. Everybody's equal. And this guy saying, no. I understand that. I understand. Forget Martin Luther King. I understand this policy. I mean, we are living in sick times. It is time to fight back. And if it means using boycotts, which we never used to do on the right, it's time to start doing that as well.
All right, we got two really good guests in a row coming up. Actually, the feature, Lydia Reports, coming up next. Then Monica Crowley, she's terrific, coming up at 8:40. More thanks to my cousins Shannon and Hanan. I love you guys. And Mark Chernoff. WFAN just sent a beautiful birthday message, which I know you get every year, too.
Yeah, Mark's
But you
great.
Get it like three times a year because no one knows exactly when your birthday is.
Well, Chernoff knows, and he's great like that. He's such a good man. I love
him. He really is. Chernoff's a great guy. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Again, Lydia Reports, Monica Crowley, Beat Bernie, all still to come on this, number 54 for me, on Bernie and Sid.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
And this report is sponsored by Benjamin Steakhouse. Two locations, one in Midtown, the other in White Plains. It's a beautiful spring day. You've got a lot of special occasions coming up. I'm actually planning on going to Benjamin Steakhouse very soon for a communion party. Can't go wrong with anything on their menu, from the prime porterhouse to the fresh seafood. Check them out at BenjaminSteakhouse.com. Guys, we've been talking about this for a while now, about the transgender agenda that is sweeping across the nation. 33 states have now introduced more than 100 bills to curb the rights, they say, of transgender people. But a lot of these bills have to do with gender reassignment surgery for children, for them to require to have permission from their parents before they cut off their body parts. And now there is a guy, you know him very, very well, actually, the whole country knows him pretty well, who is weighing in on the controversy. And I don't know how to feel about this too much. Take a listen to hear what O.J. Simpson has to say on the matter.
Was when some friends from my old country club in California told me that the former Bruce Jenner was playing from the ladies' tees. And I have to admit, I was upset when I heard that. I saw the former Bruce compete in the Montreal Olympics. I actually worked the games and called part of one of his races. And what an athlete. The man was an exceptional athlete. And he won the gold medal as a decathlete. And somehow it just bothered my senses that he would be playing from the ladies' tees.
I just try to keep it real.
So I understand he has a show on Newsmax now.
Are you kidding?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Oh, God.
Look, well,
I never thought I would agree with a double murderer, but...
even a convicted, a non-convicted murderer can make sense now and then. Hey, listen, he was singing a different tune, though, when he was doing those 12 years in prison.
Yeah, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was all about that.
Yeah. Where's my stuff at?
Come into my cell.
Where's my stuff?
Well, yeah, so there you have it. But he does bring up a good point. He goes on about XX, XY. So you have a lot of this going on all across the country. And then you got the NCAA that is saying that if there is any anti-transgender laws on the books in a certain state, that they will not be holding games there. So this is going to be the new thing now, something that only affects like 0.001% of the population. I'm predicting now this will be the next new boycott, the next new Georgia voting law type of situation.
Yeah, the NCAA, another disgusting enterprise, whatever the hell they are, organization. Look, they actually forced this Kristi Noem in South Dakota to veto a bill that said that banned boys from playing girls sports. She vetoed it because the NCAA threatened her. And then she came up with her own executive order because she faced backlash. But they're threatening Ron DeSantis down in Florida. The same thing. The NCAA, you guys passed this law. We're not going to play any of our games in your state. And it's just the worst kind of a pandering virtue signaling over nothing. It's common sense. I mean, what about women's rights? What about the girls that play? You know, they play volleyball, or they play whatever they play, the WNBA, women's basketballs. Basketball. What about them? What about women?
What do you think, Sid?
Well, listen, my daughter's 17. She plays competitive tennis. I've told Bernie time and time again what I would do to somebody who walked on the court with bigger muscles than me. And I don't understand it. And I'm a big sports guy and still am. I still watch sports. I'm a hypocrite. I get it. That's fine. I give sports scores here every morning. But I'm angry with the NCAA. I'm angry with Major League Baseball. I'm angry with the NBA, not just for the transgender stuff, but all of the political stuff that all these leagues now are stepping in. It doesn't seem, Lydia, like there's any place to go to be safe. Even safe havens in the past have now turned into problems. So I don't know where to go to feel safe anymore. But this specific story about transgenders, I don't know how any rational human being can say it's okay. Although I will tell you that I've got a female in my family who is a big-time athlete, not in my immediate family, who said to me, Uncle Sid, bring it on. We want the competition. We can beat men. We're every bit as good as men. Bring it on. And that is the problem. There are folks out there that actually say it's okay.
Yeah, there are a couple of people. I wonder if they take this topic on Sports Talk Radio, the NCAA endorsing this type of thing.
Who's going to do that?
Yeah, Gray? I'm just curious.
You think Maggie Gray is going to admit that men are going to beat women in sports?
Right. Or Peter Rosenberg, these two cop haters that we just mentioned, Gray and Rosenberg, not you, Peter. Do they talk about this? This is a big sports issue. No, they stay away from it. They don't have the onions to do it. Again, no pun intended.
Well, they're also not going to take MLB to task for moving the All-Star game. They'll congratulate them. They're not going to take the NBA to task when the Chauvin verdict comes out and the NBA takes a week off. They're going to be like, hey, way to go. Way to place your priorities. Killing black people is much more important than a Knick game. And it is. It is. If, in fact, it was a problem.
If it was. Exactly right. But you would think this would be a real ratings grabber if they did talk about it. But no. Too cowardly. Or if they talk about it at all, they'll endorse it. They won't come out against it. The common sense, boys playing in girls' sports, robbing these girls of not only victories, but of scholarships, that type of thing, careers, professional careers, all that stuff. And I'm waiting for the first guy to play in the WNBA and excel. I wonder, how come that hasn't happened yet? I don't understand. How come it only happens to college girls and high school girls, and it doesn't happen in the professional leagues? Can you answer that, Lydia?
It's coming. It's coming. Right now, three states, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee, have already signed bills that ban transgender athletes from participating in sports consistent with their gender identities. And 31 other states they're trying to do the same thing. But I just can't. Can you imagine our forefathers if you tried to explain this to them, or even JFK, like previous presidents, Ronald Reagan, even, you know, George Bush, the first George H.W., you know, H. Bush. And you explain to them like, well, a guy cuts off his thing because he can play now on girls sports and this and that. I mean,
doesn't even have to cut it off.
Oh, that's right.
Doesn't even have to transition physically.
Oh,
I mean, you talk about just absolute insanity. And what about our four mothers? What would they think of it? What about the former first ladies? What would they think of it, huh?
Well, at least in the Olympics, they have them taking all of those hormone tests, and they have to have like a certain level of hormones. That's not feasible in college sports or high school sports to have them, you know, constantly be testing their hormones. The bottom line is the more testosterone you have, the more muscle mass you have, and the more likely you are to do better at sports than a female. Women are better than men, don't get me wrong, in most aspects.
I mean, come on.
But when it comes to physicality, men are physically stronger. We are better. There's no question about that.
Although you've heard this a million times, and Bernie and I are not going to argue, you are better. Women, absolutely the better gender. You say men are stronger, but how many times have you been told this? You go through what we go through once a month. You try to push out a baby tough guy. Let's see how tough you are. So you say on one hand that men are tougher than women, but yet you always say things like men can never bear a child.
That's 100% true. You guys have no pain tolerance.
Well, that's true.
That's 100% true. Men, 100.
Men are stronger, but not necessarily tougher.
They definitely have more
bone density and higher muscle mass. No matter all the transitioning and all the hormone therapy they get, they start out with a head start, a big head start, when they get in with the women, and it's not fair.
Well, I think my husband is still traumatized from witnessing me give birth, so there is no way. I mean, sometimes I hear him in the bathroom when he's constipated. Never mind what if he was push out a baby.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Good stuff. That's good stuff.
This report is sponsored by Benjamin's Steakhouse. Benjamin's Steakhouse with sizzling prime porterhouse steak for two or fresh seafood. Host your next special occasion in their heated outdoor patio, a spacious dining room, two locations, Manhattan and as well as in White Plains. Check them out at BenjaminsSteakhouse.com.
Thank you, Lydia. You can follow Lydia on Instagram at LydiaNews1, on Twitter at Lydia News. A terrific show every weekday at 4 p.m. And of course, sits along John Catsimatidis at 5 o'clock every weekday afternoon. Let me grab one of these quick, then we'll go to break here. Here is Howard in Manhattan, line one. Good morning, Howie.
Hey, Sid, happy birthday, long time listener.
Well, thank you for that.
I'm glad to hear you and Bernie have the voice of reason out there, and I wish more people would listen to you. The last thing I want to say is I really admire the admiration that you have for your dad. God bless you.
Thank you for that. I have played my father singing me happy birthday for the last time last April. But Bernie and I are doing great. You know, I caution people. Don't believe what you hear. Don't believe what you read. And I say this, you know, Bernie and I used to take walks in the city to do Bill O'Reilly's show. And we used to get stopped and people would be like, hey, Sid, are you back at the Fan? Hey, Bernie, what are you doing these days? Now, and Bernie can attest to that. Now, I promise you, not a day goes by, not a day, where I don't go for a walk in the city or go somewhere where somebody doesn't stop me and go, man, I love you and Bernie. I love you guys. Every day.
Listen, I told you about my boy Tony in Long Beach at the gym. Saw him again this weekend, and among other people, yeah. The voice of reason. The only place they can go for some raw, unvarnished truth.
It's true. We're the only ones, and plus, laughs. Who's going to make you laugh? Len Berman? Michael Riedel? Boomer? No one's going to make you laugh. Who's going to make you cry? Boomer's going to make you cry? Len Berman? Folks.
I make you fall asleep.
Please. This is the only morning show in this city that's great every day. Every single day. And we're coming right back.
We get to leave 11 gallows on your sleeve. Shallow figured, winners paid. 11 shadows, way out of place. Standing too soon.
So what are the nice surprises? Oh, I got a nice message here from Tish Tacopina. So Tacopina's wife. He's in Italy. He'll be back tomorrow. One of the nice surprises from last Wednesday's Israeli Independence Day party, which you remember, Bernie, I did 6 hours on the air, but then I hosted this great event at Stage 77 for 4 hours, Wednesday afternoon. There were great acts. It was a terrific day. But Monica Crowley hung around for all 4 hours. Had a chance.
Wow.
I know she was on with you the week before when I was in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a chance to talk. I haven't seen Monica in a long time. And it was great to talk with her. She loves you, of course. You guys are friends for many, many years. So with that said, making her second appearance in the last 3 weeks, the aforementioned lovely Monica Crowley. Good morning, Monica.
Hello, Monica.
Hi, good morning, guys, and a very happy birthday to you, Sid.
Thank you very much. Thank you. 54 is kind of a weird one, not a big one. I feel like next year, double nickels, that's a bigger one. But thank you for that, Monica. Nice to see you last Wednesday. One of the things that you and I railed about was you live in this area, right by this studio, and I lived about 50 blocks north of here. And you and I were both railing about how impossible it's been to live in New York City and still appreciate this place as the greatest city in the world. So you and I are both very frustrated, to say the least.
Well, yes, and it was great to see you last week. Sid, you did an amazing job on the Israel Independence Day celebration at WABC, and you were like Superman because you were there for hours and hours, and you never waned, you never faltered, you never failed us.
Thank you.
God bless you. And Bernie, it's always great to talk to you, too. Yeah, you know, New York City, I've been out of New York City for almost 2 years. I would go back and forth while I was working in the Trump administration at the Treasury Department. But I was mostly focused on my job for the American people, for the Trump administration in D.C. And every time I'd come back to New York, of course, I was homesick for the city. But, you know, I would see it in various stages. But once the pandemic hit, and then, of course, the Black Lives Matter riots and so on that happened last summer, the city transformed into something that I no longer recognized. And I think that's true for most New Yorkers. It's a city they don't recognize anymore. And now with higher taxes, even as we're coming out of the pandemic and businesses want to come back, you have such bad governance in the city of New York and the state of New York that it's a giant wet blanket on aspirations, on innovation, on creativity, on job creation. And it's all coming out of Albany and out of the governor and out of the mayor's office. And it's really unfortunate because New York City is a glistening testament to the free market, to capitalism, to innovation, to American dynamism. And it's been crushed by far left governance for far too long.
Yeah, exactly right. Monica Crowley on the Bernie and Sid show. And it predated the pandemic, all the high taxes and the fleeing of the state. And also the no cash bail laws, which reared their ugly head again over the weekend with one guy trying to push an Asian man onto the subway platform, released on no cash bail. The judge said, my hands are tied. I can't do anything because of Governor Cuomo and State Senator Todd Kominsky's no cash bail laws. And now, Monica Crowley, we face the prospect, depending on the verdict in this Chauvin George Floyd trial, we face the prospect of more violence in the city, more riots, depending on the outcome there.
Well, I hope that won't be the case, Bernie, but, you know, unfortunately, we're at this moment in this country where that's how things go. And the far left is driving the bus, and not just in the inner cities, but nationally, as we see. And we also see it in the nation's newsrooms. We also see it in corporate boardrooms where woke progressivism is now driving the bus. And you saw, by the way, Maxine Waters, who represents a district in California, was in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota over the weekend, basically inciting violence, mm-hmm. saying stay in the streets, ignore the curfew, basically ignore the police. So she's out there inciting violence and essentially creating an insurrection. But that's okay because she's got the protection of the press, right? So we're at this inflection point in the country. I think it's a very dangerous time. It's very serious. And for those of us who live in New York City, New York State, we have a moment now. We've got an opportunity to switch out our leadership and really put a Republican in the mayor's office. We've got a governor's race coming up relatively soon. Put a Republican in there. Try something new. To paraphrase Donald Trump from a couple of years ago, what the hell do you have to lose?
No, we couldn't Damn agree right. more. And, you know, we of course, we're endorsing Curtis Sliwa in the mayoral race. We've got our dear friend Congressman Lee Zeldin running for governor, unless John Catsimatidis decides to jump in. So we have guys that we think would be terrific at that job. But you know, Monica, being brighter than me, quite frankly, that it's highly unlikely either one of those guys will win. So if we're going to be honest about this, it's going to be Eric Adams or Andrew Yang, and it's going to be some Democrat. Then what do? We're going to be stuck here once again with a mayor and a governor that are Democrats. What do we do?
Well, we're seeing this in urban centers around the country. And by the way, New York has long been Democrat, but what we're dealing with now is something different. And this is on the national level. Actually, it's sweeping the West. This kind of progressivism that is actually socialist. It is borderline communist. And of course, socialism is just a stop on the route to communist. So we're not talking about like Democratic mayors of the past that we could sort of live with and maybe didn't like, and maybe they have serious faults in the way they govern the city. But now what we're looking at is, you know, as bad as de Blasio has been and is, we could get an alternative that's worse, if you can imagine that. So I think, you know, for the people of New York, what we have seen over the past few decades is New Yorkers do overwhelmingly vote blue. But even they reach a point where they get up against the wall. And as we talked about, the economic situation in New York State, New York City is horrendous and getting worse, thanks to tax hikes that are about to come down the pike at us. But even something more important, I think, to most New Yorkers, which is public safety. And you mentioned the no cash bail and so on, that all of those policies that make New Yorkers feel unsafe walking down the street to their apartments, walking down the street to a restaurant, that those quality of life issues are what gave rise to a Rudy Giuliani, and that what gave rise to a Michael Bloomberg. So it is entirely possible that if New Yorkers feel like they've had enough, and it's the straw that breaks the camel's back, public health and safety, if they feel that those issues, that they've had enough and they don't feel safe in their own home, then that could create an opening where you could get a Curtis Sliwa as mayor.
Hopefully, if there's a God in heaven, Monica Crowley again on the Bernie and Sid show. So at a local level, a city level, we have rank incompetence and, yes, socialism. The state level, rank incompetence, just ruin things up there in Albany, this Governor Cuomo. And on a presidential level, and I read this morning, I'll read it again to you. I saw it on Facebook, believe it or not. Watching Joe Biden's presidency is like watching a toddler play with a loaded handgun, Monica Crowley. And, of course, we have the border catastrophe. And the latest illustration of that is because of the border catastrophe, the Biden administration wisely decided to limit the number of refugees that we admit into the country to 15,000. That makes perfect sense, right? They got criticism and flip-flopped on that immediately. Saying, no, we're going to raise it to, I think they said 65,000 before, and they immediately flip-flopped. And that's just one minor example of how incompetent and feckless and afraid they are. So who do you think is actually running this country right now? And do you think we'll get any relief in 2022?
It's a very good question about who's actually running the country. I think the answer, at least part of the answer, could be found in a previous president, Barack Obama, because Joe Biden served as his vice president, and Obama is still largely in control of the Democratic Party, and it's still his party and the far left. He is very comfortable there. So I would assume that President Obama still is exerting a lot of influence over this president and the policy directions they go. I also think folks like AOC, who are essentially driving the bus on the Democratic side. That's where all of the energy and the activism are in the Democratic Party on that far left. So when the White House comes out and says refugee cap at 15,000, and then the far left screams, within 3 hours, the White House turned around and said, oh, we're going to announce a new higher cap on Monday, meaning today. So it is really concerning where this country is going. It doesn't look like we're in a republic so much anymore as an oligarchy, where you have this alliance between big media, big tech, big government, and so on. And the average citizen is at a loss. You know, when you said, Bernie, what do we do if we get a mayor that's even worse than de Blasio? The average person feels voiceless. And by the way, this whole dynamic is not new, and it is something that gave rise to Donald Trump and the America First movement. So if the left is looking to lose the next presidential election and reelect Donald Trump in 2024, they're doing a really good job.
Well said. With that said, again, it was great seeing you, Monica, on Wednesday. Thank you for hopping on with me and Bernie today, and I look forward to hearing you every day on WABC.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
See you, Monica. Monica Crowley with Bernie and Sid. Still to come, your chance at a $100 gift card and a Barry House coffee mug. Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers beat Bernie. Plus, all your phone calls as we celebrate my 54th right here on Bernie and Sid.
What the hell do you have to lose?
Darling, you must trust them just once more.
So I think this is the first movie I ever went to go see in a theater. The Goodbye Girl, starring Marsha Mason and Richard Dreyfuss. I think this was the first one. I want to say it was around 76 or 77. The Brosy would know. But you ever see that movie, The Goodbye Girl?
I haven't had the fortune, no.
Well, it was like 40 years ago, Burns.
Yeah, well, it was.
Was there ever a time in your life when you like went to movies or not really?
This was, you're talking about a period when I was...
High.
I was wild and crazy.
Yeah, high.
I was not going to movies.
That's right. You're older than me. I'm saying to myself, how is that? I was like 10.
No. I was out in the streets.
Yeah, you were doing
at
your
that
thing.
Point.
Yeah.
And so, no, I missed The Goodbye Girl. It's not the kind of movie I'd...
Oh, it's a great movie.
I know, but again, it's not my thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I like those chick flicks. I like that. Take a couple of calls here. Get back to the meat of the day at 9, then Beat Bernie comes your way at 9:40. We've covered a lot today. Here's Peter in Brooklyn, Bernard, on line 3. Good morning, Pete.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for everything. Sid, my birthday brother from a different mother.
Is it your
born
birthday?
Your
birthday is today? Today?
1967.
Oh, same exact day.
Yes. Last time I called you a couple of years ago, you asked me if I was born in Brooklyn. I was.
Wow.
Bay Ridge. And I wrote the letter to you that I gave to the Sullivans.
My God. That was such a beautiful letter. That's you, Peter. Now, I hope you heard Bernie and I. I showed it to Bernie the next day.
Yes.
He was also very emotional. I hope you heard me talk about that on the air.
I did. Thank you very much. I've been off social media for the past year and 3 or 4 months. I've been out of the loop about a lot of things. But I rely on you guys for a lot of my information. I want to thank Kasimatidis for allowing you guys to speak the truth and not bow to any pressure. We're in a crazy, crazy world right now. And just hoping that things turn around and go back to a little bit of sanity.
Well, we thank you for saying what you
Peter.
Said, Peter, and also we thank Mr. Kasimatidis for allowing us that the luxury of again expressing our views without any restraint whatsoever. I mean, it's telling the truth, as he says, common sense. That's what we do.
That's all we do. Kevin exactly. is in Westchester County. Thank you, Peter. Kevin's on line 7. Hi, Kevin. Good morning. How are you? Kevin, you're there. Can't hear him. Let's go to line 1. Vic is in Belmore. Quickly, Victor, how are you? Line 1.
I'm doing very well and just love to listen to you guys in the morning. I don't miss you ever. And I'm totally serious.
Thank you.
Every morning, 6:30 in the morning, WABC is on. But
thank
what
you.
I want to tell you today, and by the way, very happy birthday to you. God bless you because you're such a good man.
Thank you.
And,
Vic.
You know, you know what? A lot of men are afraid to say, I love you. You know what? You're always there to say I love you to somebody, and I really respect that because a lot of men don't, you know, they don't like to say that kind of thing.
Thank you.
So it just makes you that much more of a man. But here's the thing, why I called, is that my two children, not through my economic growth, they went to two colleges. My son's still in Baruch, okay?
That's where I graduated from.
And then my daughter went to Brooklyn College. But we're from Belmore. But in any event, the bottom line is right now, I cannot believe they are like different people.
No,
with this
listen,
woke
we got to run. Unfortunately, it's the top of the hour. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. As I say, my kids have done it too. Bernie's lucky; his kids are out. By the way, Dave Labrosi says, as I knew he would know, this song charted in February of 1978. Thank you, boss. Bernie and Sid, 9 o'clock hour is next.
I can't remember when you were there, when I didn't care for anyone but you. I swear we've been through everything there is. Can't imagine anything we've missed. Can't imagine anything the two of us can't do.
Here's another one.
You've never let
right.
me down.
Party you go to, you anniversaries, and birthdays. Kenny Rogers, through the years. This one hit you right over the head like an anvil. What was that cartoon where the Roadrunner?
Roadrunner, yeah.
Wile E. Coyote, they always got hit with anvils. You don't see a lot of anvils these days.
Kind of hurt.
Acme anvils. Acme.
Then they were okay. Next scene.
Well, I mean, that was the beauty about cartoons back then. They get this really, really big lump, like Fred Flintstone, or and it'll be like really, like Scottie Pippen's eye once during that NBA playoff game. But then they'd be fine. Like today in cartoons, they die. It's. Well, I mean, right off the bat, that's an issue. Forget about DMX. Forget about the music you hear every day. And
what about my boy Black Rob?
Who's that?
He just died over the weekend.
Black Rock's dead?
Black Rob.
Black Rob?
Yeah.
Was he black?
Yeah, he's another. He was 51 years old.
Is
another,
he a rapper?
Another rapper. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did he have any like really famous songs?
Not really.
Yeah.
He had one.
Yeah.
Over the years, but
what was it called?
He got the DMX treatment over the weekend. You would have loved it.
No, he didn't.
Oh, yes, he did.
Oh,
and they had a video of him from a hospital. This guy was homeless. He was in jail.
Oh, come on.
On drugs over the years. They had a videotape of him paying homage to a DMX.
Oh.
He's 51 years old. He looked like he was 81.
I'm sure.
But either way, Black Rob, rest in peace.
I'm sure Wendy Williams.
He kept it real.
Wendy Williams will do a whole piece on him today. She seems to really love these guys. I don't know. The last time I got really, really upset when a rapper died was the great Old Dirty Bastard.
How you
remember? Remember Old Dirty Bastard? Remember ODB there?
Kidding me? Yeah, Staten Island, Wu-Tang, baby.
Now, what was that one song that was Money for Nothing or something like that? Not Dire Straits.
No, Cash Rules Everything Around Me?
No, it was Money. It was like Money for Nothing or something, I think.
Hold on.
Either way, he was, and I'm going to make this very definitive statement, and it's not meant to argue or debate because there is no argument. ODB was the greatest rapper of all time.
Got Your Money is what you're talking about.
Yeah, let me hear that for a second on my birthday.
I don't know. I got to find it.
It'll make me happy.
Hang on. All right.
Well, what's going on? Well, don't worry about it. If they say anything nasty, just dump it. Bernie has to stand anyway. His back is killing him.
It really is.
Poor Bernie. I feel terrible for you. I do.
Well, this happens to me on occasion.
Every now and then.
Every couple of months.
Yes.
It's leaning over to tie my shoes or something.
But it's been a long time. You haven't done this since,
I had a great run, the last
address.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every day I wake up with no back pain. I'm a happy guy.
Yes.
Great workout on Saturday, yesterday, putting on some shoes.
This will make you happy.
Throws my back out.
Here's some Old Dirty Bastard. Oh, look at you dancing still. Oh, he's got that, the white man leg kick going. Oh, and there he goes, like Conor McGregor. Oh, he's throwing punches, he's dancing. Take a video of this. Where's Sarah? Bernie dancing to ODB on Sid's birthday here on WABC.
Stop right now. Stop right now. Yeah, ODB.
So what's happening in the real world that
people
actually care
about? It's funny you should bring up rap music and lyrics and all that stuff. You have, of course, we're going to have the Chauvin Floyd verdict come down this week. Get ready, because even second-degree murder, from what I understand, carries only 12-year sentence. So they're going to say it's not enough. No matter what, they're going to riot, I believe. And it could spread to here. They'll throw in all the other cop shootings, even though, the shooting's all justified. Dante Wright, he was a thug. He robbed a black woman at gunpoint. You should be mad at Dante Wright for robbing a black woman at gunpoint. She called the cops because he did that, and they went to help that black woman. That's how racist the cops are. But in any case, I'm watching Channel 5, Dan Bowens. I know nobody knows who he is. This is Saturday night. I taped it, watched it later. And he actually said that Dante Wright, he said that he got shot trying to get back into his car after a traffic stop, and then moved on. That's it. That's what the common denominator nitwits are getting out there from their local newscasts and from their, even the mainstream media plays it down and leaves out really salient facts like he had a warrant out for his arrest and for a gun robbery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, speaking of rap lyrics, and of course, what's in the news, Maxine Waters was, we talked about Monica Crowley. She's out in Minneapolis urging people to riot if no matter what the verdict is. This is Maxine Waters. But on the issue of rap lyrics, none other than this Don Lemon. Don Lemon actually said this back in, what, about 8-9 years ago? Take a listen.
More than 72% of children in the African-American community are born out of wedlock. That means absent fathers. And the studies show that lack of a male role model is an express train right to prison. And the cycle continues. So please pay attention to and think about what has been presented in recent history as acceptable behavior. Pay close attention to the hip-hop and rap culture that many of you embrace, a culture that glorifies everything I just mentioned, thug and reprehensible behavior, a culture that is making a lot of people rich, just not you, and it's not going to.
Isn't that astonishing?
That really is.
It really is. I mean, and of course, Obama said the same thing. What, he said this in 2008. Obama said it, listen.
Too many fathers are MIA. Too many fathers are AWOL. Missing from too many lives and too many homes. They've abandoned their responsibilities. They're acting like boys instead of men. You and I know this is true everywhere, but nowhere is it more true than in the African-American community. We know that more than half of all black children live in single-parent households. We know the statistics that children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime. They're 9 times more likely to drop out of school, 20 times more likely to end up in prison.
Now, he wouldn't dare say that today. He didn't say anything like that when he put out his statement the other day, and that's the problem. We want to have an honest conversation about race, why young black males are committing a disproportionate amount of the crimes and thereby engaging with police and getting shot when they resist. That's the problem. That's the tough conversation you want to have.
Right.
And I believe me, with Don Lemon, I have 10 more clips of Don Lemon on the Wendy Williams show telling black kids to pull up your pants, this, that, the other. Never would utter a word like that today. Even Denzel Washington recognized, he's a beloved figure in the black community, Denzel Washington.
It starts in the house. It starts in the home. And yeah, well, my father got locked up. Well, where was his father?
Yeah.
You know, I did talk about my 3 closest friends, and they did, you know, 15 and 25. One did 28, this and that. I was the only one of the 3 that had a father in my life, even though my parents were together. But I still had a father who was a gentle man and a good example.
Yeah.
And they didn't. We can blame the system if we want. But they didn't lock any of us up at 7.
I mean, listen, I'm just saying, if coming from me, it rings hollow. Coming from people like Don Lemon, Denzel Washington, Barack Obama, not so hollow. But then you have creeps, little dirty little punks like Fredo Cuomo, who go on the air. And when Don Lemon now spews his really racist stuff today, you have Fredo's, yup, that's right, Don, yup. Same thing with Anthony Mason to Gail King on CBS, yup, Gail, yeah, you're right. So Fredo, he's virtue signaling on Friday about all these police shootings involving young black men, young black males. Fredo Cuomo, and this is what he said.
Gun laws, access to weapons, oh yeah, I know when they'll change. White people's kids start getting killed. White kid, oh, big family, that house over there. Those start piling up? What is going on with these police? Oh, what? Maybe we shouldn't even have police. That kind of mania, that kind of madness, that'll be you.
How stupid.
Enough.
How utterly stupid.
And stupid and dangerous and just factually incorrect.
I mean, yeah, how about Sanchez again? White kids would get shot if they didn't comply also.
Right.
Same thing.
Agreed. Same thing. Hey, by the way, you mentioned Denzel Washington. I did see his movie last week with Rami Malek, who won the Academy Award playing Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody, and Jared Leto, who is just an amazing bad guy. The Little Things, which is on Amazon Prime, it was great. Denzel put on a lot of weight. He's fat. He plays a cop. But he was, as always.
What's it called?
The Little Things. Great movie.
I'm going to check it out.
Check it out. Denzel, Jared Leto, and Malik on Amazon Prime. And don't forget, tonight, here on my birthday, curfews are extended to midnight for restaurants and bars in New York City, so you can stay and drink until midnight at your favorite bar. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's slowly but surely coming back.
We're getting there.
The state of Israel actually dropped their mask mandate, while the state of Michigan is imposing further restrictions. I mean, that's how screwed up they are. And this Whitmer lady, who they made a hero out of over the past year, just like they did with Governor Cuomo. Anyway, Michigan and New York, still two of the worst states. Although it's going down here in New York, the positivity rate. In Michigan, it's out of control. State of Texas, no problem. Florida, great. Michigan, bad, bad, very bad.
Gretchen Whitmer, no good. All right, well, we'll take a break. When we get back, we're going to play Beat Bernie. We need a contestant at stake here, a $100 gift card and a Barry House coffee mug. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Your chance to beat Bernie is coming up.
When the sun came up this morning, and she smiled her smile for me, I felt it for the first time. Something deep inside of me. So you can take your midnight rambling, boy, and you can keep your winding road. She's living inside my heart now. Living inside.
Bob Seger, 925 on your beautiful spring Monday morning in New York City. Welcome back to the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show on Talk Radio 77 WABC. 67 today and sunny, 74 and sunny tomorrow. I got to take this call on line one because I thought about you, Bernie, this weekend. Thought about you right away. This is Chris in Levittown on line one. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, Sid. Hey, happy birthday,
buddy.
Thank you, buddy. I hate to bring it down a little bit, but we're very upset about Aunt Polly passing away this weekend.
Oh, get out of here.
See that? Yes, she died.
Oh, no, I did not see that. Aunt Polly from Peaky Blinders. I stepped over you, Chris. I'm sorry, but yes.
No problem. You're the one who turned me on to it.
Oh, you've been watching.
Oh, my God.
It is terrific, right? Peaky Blinders on Netflix. Yes, it's absolutely terrific. What did she die from?
She had cancer. It's Damien Lewis's wife, which I didn't know. I'm not familiar with the actress prior to this. And then I saw the headline. I was like, what? Wait, and you know, it was just, I got attached to him. I know it's silly, but I get attached to these shows. I don't know why. You know, I was very upset.
I'm with you, bro. I got attached to it as well, and the characters, and of course, Matt Meany just told me in my ear, she was 52 years old.
She was very young, yeah. She was 52. Mark Wahlberg's mother died this weekend. She was 78. She was a little older, but still young, Mark Wahlberg's mom. But I love that show, Peaky Blinders, too.
Don't mess with the Peaky Blinking Blinders. It is terrific. Sorry about that, Chris. Thank you for informing us. And, they were going to remake it. They were going to do another season.
Yeah.
They stopped because of COVID. And now they're going to have to work that into the plot.
Are they going to bring it back?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they are? Okay. I can't keep up with all these Netflix shows and Amazon Prime and
too
Apple
much.
TV.
Too much.
And there's a lot going on, right?
Yeah, that's how I got introduced to The Crown. They said, if you like Peaky Blinders, you're going to like The Crown. So I watched that. I checked it out, gave it a chance, and
you love The Crown. That's one of the very few I haven't seen. I haven't seen any of The Crown. But could happen. I'm watching them right now on Amazon Prime, and that show's gotten a ton of controversy. It's a story about Compton, California. And for folks that don't know this, when you think of Compton, you think of rap music. You think of guns.
Think of Ice Cube. That's where it came from.
Okay. Well, guess what? In the early 1950s and 60s, there were no black people in Compton. It was white. It was lily white. White picket fences. The whole deal. And in this show, them, it's a black couple that moves from North Carolina. It's a horror show. There's a haunting aspect to it. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about right now, but it is a horror show. Anyway, this black couple moves from North Carolina to Compton, and they're the first and only black couple on the block, and they go through hell. So if you're a white person out there and you're like, Black Lives Matter and what we did to black people ain't cool and all that type of stuff, if you watch this, you'll rally twice tonight.
So this is what they're propagating and perpetuating more divisiveness and hate.
Well, yes.
Netflix, yeah. No surprise if you consider that the Obama's...
No, it's Amazon Prime. Not Netflix.
Amazon Prime?
Correct. Same network, of course. It's got my show, Gravesend, other great shows. It's not Netflix. But I will tell you, the acting is great. And I try not to get involved in what's going on today with the storyline, but people have. And when you go to Twitter and all these message boards, I didn't realize the amount of folks that talk about this show and that are furious on both sides. Black people are mad because, you're kind of replaying what's going on all over again. White people are mad because, like you said, stop dividing the country. It's getting hammered everywhere, and I actually think it's a really good show. Them. On Amazon. Are you familiar with this, Amini?
I'm not, but I just wanted to bring up the point about, you know, them creating more divisiveness. They do have, on all the streaming services I have, what is it, a YouTube TV and Netflix and Hulu, they all have sections for either, like, black directors or black, you know, documentaries. Just
what?
Like, like highlighting that. You know, they did, like, the black-owned businesses.
Really?
Yeah, highlighting all that now. I don't know.
Jeez.
Yeah, listen, I will say this about Amazon Prime. They do have a show which I haven't watched. It's called What Really Killed Michael Brown. And I believe it's by Thomas Sowell directs that. And it is about, again, it disabuses everybody of the notion that he was a victim. So it's an
good,
honest portrayal of the Michael Brown hands up, don't shoot hoax.
Oh, good.
By a really smart, very, very insightful black, Shelby Steele, excuse me, not Thomas Sowell, who's another, he's in the same vein, a brilliant black columnist, Thomas Sowell, but this one is Shelby Steele, and he came out with this movie. At first, they declined to put it on the air. I think Netflix turned it down or something.
Wow.
Like
yes,
that.
You're right.
Yeah, Netflix actually said, no, we're not putting that on our network.
Good.
And meanwhile, it's an accurate portrayal of exactly the chronicles the whole Michael Brown episode and the hoax.
Hopefully people will watch it and find out what Bernie and I say every day, which is, again, exposing the truth, especially that one, because that was the one that kicked it all off. Ferguson, Missouri kicked it all off. That was before Eric Garner, before Freddie Gray, before all these things. And it was a lie from day one. And the president, Barack Obama, did not help.
It is what started Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
Which, by the way, Breonna Taylor's mother came out over the weekend and said, hey, you're a bunch of frauds. You're a bunch of phony scam artists, you Black Lives Matter people. Didn't get a lot of play in the mainstream media, but she did say that.
How about that? Here's Brian in Brooklyn on line one. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, Sid, how are you? Happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I want you to know I love you, by the way. I know you love hearing that.
Yeah. I love you too. Thank you for saying that. I do love hearing that.
Nice.
Where are you in Brooklyn? What part?
The good part, Sheepshead Bay.
Ah, that's nice. That's where I spent most of my life.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I can name all the places. You know why I called also? It happens to be a special day for me because my triplets were born today. And one of them is right next to me and would love to say hello. Her name's Delilah.
Hi, Delilah.
Hello. Happy birthday to you as well.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to say we were always listening to your show in the car on the way to work. I am lucky enough to work with my dad. And I figured, you know, I'd ask, but after work today, maybe we should go grab some sandwiches from Brendan and Carr to celebrate.
Ah, now you're talking, Delilah. I love it. In fact, I did receive messages already this morning from three, not one, not two, but three Sullivan brothers, Mike Sullivan, Brian Sullivan, and Tom Sullivan, who ran for office in Queens, all three wishing me a happy birthday. And that is the family, of course, that owns Brendan and Carr, the best roast beef in the world. Happy birthday, Delilah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Take care. Brian and Delilah in Brooklyn. We will come back with Doug. He's in Huntington, Long Island. He's today's contestant. He thinks he can beat Bernie. Silly Doug.
Well, let's see. I've been beat before. By the way, I was. We'll talk about it later. Go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to mention the Uncle Sam part of the contest.
Well, mention
that. Brought up in the
you
meeting.
Were very angry about that last week.
Well, I wasn't angry. I mean, I was just setting the record straight because it was a question on Beat Bernie, Uncle Sam, and you asked me the figure that they used in the War of 1812. I'm like, what figure did they use? Figure, symbol, image, whatever the word you were striving for.
I think
for.
It was figure, yes. I don't write the game, remember?
I understand. Yeah. But they didn't use any figure in the War of 1812 or symbol or image. It wasn't until World War One that symbol or image was actually manufactured. I want you to serve in the army.
Right.
Uncle Sam, red, white, and blue, white hair, all that stuff. Big, tall guy. in 1812, there's this story that may or may not be true that they came up with the name Uncle Sam as early as for the War of 1812, but there was no symbol, image, figure, any of that stuff. So I did not get that question wrong.
You didn't get it wrong. You got that, Beanie?
I tell you, I got to hand it to Bernie.
That's yes, right. Aware. I am aware. All right. I'm correcting the record.
Just so for the people who are listening say, no, you know, maybe who might know and they say, these guys are idiots.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. And public, no, public school education, you know, if you're a product of public school education.
This is what happens.
You need to come here for your.
Well, let's see what happens with today's game.
Yeah, tough guy.
Maybe there'll be some other issue.
Bernie, I'm talking to myself.
Beat Bernie is coming up next.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
All right, messages continue to come in. So, Chris Mormondo, friend of mine, he is actually in the show Gravesend. Terrific young guy, terrific actor. He just put something up on my Instagram. You know, people send posts and they go to your story for your birthday, and it's very, very exciting. Today's contestant out of Huntington, Long Island. I used to go to bar mitzvahs all the time at this, there's a townhouse, Huntington Townhouse. There was also a bar that I went to there. I think it was called Fulton Street. Anyway, Doug is in Huntington. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, Sid. How you doing? Happy birthday.
Thank you, brother. How are you?
Good, good. I actually called to just wish you a happy birthday on our mutual birthdays, because we share the same day today.
It is unbelievable. Doug and Matt is right. It's like the fifth person to call today and say it's their birthday, too. Well, happy birthday, Doug.
Ah, happy birthday to you, Sid. I think there's about 15 years difference between us.
You're clearly younger. Can you name three major things that happened on our birthday historically?
Oh, boy. Three major
This is not
things.
Part of the game. Well, you're not going to lose $100.
You, one is the Oklahoma City bombing.
Very good. That's right. Oklahoma City bombing. That happened on our birthday. That's right. That tragedy.
And I know Adolf Hitler, I think.
No, that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
That's why Columbine happened. Those kids, Diebold and Harris, did that purposely on Hitler's birthday tomorrow. And it's also the weed day, 420. Right. The other two things at Waco, Texas, when the government burned down David Koresh's building. And also the second Boston bomber, the Living Brother, was found bleeding in a boat on our birthday going back about 6-7 years ago. So there you have it.
And then there was always the 18th of April in 75. So that's a day early. Though.
What was that?
Paul Revere's Ride.
Oh, Paul Revere's Ride. That's right.
Yeah.
Who could forget that? All right, well, here we go. Excellent job, Doug. Here's number one. What is the alliterative phrase for someone born in America between 1946 and 1965?
Baby boomer?
Yes! Very good. You could also put an infant Norman Esiason would be what?
Baby boomer. Baby boomer, very good.
In 1904, New York City formally designated the square formed by the intersection of Broadway and 7th Avenue as Times Square. What was the square's previous name? A. Ball Drop Plaza. B. Long Acre Square. C. Short Mile Square.
Oh, boy. Could you just repeat those answers again quick, Sid?
A. Ball Drop Plaza. B. Long Acre Square. C. Short Mile Square.
Short Mile Square.
Wrong answer. Oh,
tough one. All right. One for two so far. Who was the first president of the United States to have been divorced?
Ooh, I'm going to say it was probably Jefferson.
Not a bad guess. Incorrect. Named after the American Civil War General William Sherman, what type of tree is the 275-foot-tall General Sherman located in California's national park?
What kind of tree? It's a giant oak.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax.
Finally, who was the last president of the United States to have facial hair? Hint, it was a mustache, and he was the 27th president. If that helps, I mean, I'm going to
say that would have been Taft.
How do you know that? That's unbelievable. You knew that. Well, good job, Doug. You got two right, and this is a very difficult game today, so I would not automatically give Bernard the win. He does need at least three right to win today's game. We'll put Doug on hold.
Well, you made it easy on my birthday, sir.
Well, listen, I don't write the questions, unfortunately, Doug. I'm like Wink Martindale. You know, I'm Pat Sajak. They put the damn puzzle up, and I don't even have Vanna White to turn the damn letters. Oh, well, you did well. Happy birthday, Doug. We'll put you on hold. Doug is celebrating a birthday today, too. That's like the fifth one.
Come on.
Swear to God. April 19th is a very, very big day.
And then, you mentioned this earlier, right? Tomorrow's Hitler's birthday.
That's correct, yes. That's why the Columbine thing happened that day, going back to 1999.
I don't know what that means, but...
What means?
That tomorrow is Hitler's birthday, and today's your birthday.
Well, too close. Too close.
Yeah, too close.
Yeah.
Right.
Three of these you win. You ready to go?
Let's go.
What is the alliterative phrase for someone born in America between 1946 and 1965?
I like that. Alliterative. Baby boomers.
Well, he got that one right, too. In 1904, New York City formally designated the square formed by the intersection of Broadway and 7th Avenue as Times Square. What was the square's previous name? A, Ball Drop Plaza. B, Long Acre Square. C, Short Mile Square.
I like the Ball Drop Plaza.
Yes,
That was creative. The next two, Long Acre Square?
Or Short Mile Square.
I go with Long Acre.
That's correct. Yep, very good. So he didn't get that one right. So now if you got one more, you win.
Wow, okay? I'm looking good.
Who was the first president of the United States to have been divorced?
The first divorced president was probably my boy Ronald Reagan.
Nice.
Yeah, he was divorced from Jane Wyman.
And then married Nancy. You win. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's see if we can go 5 for 5.
Well, you know, it was... she wasn't that good.
Nice. Pretty good.
Did not like her. I liked Gabonzo, the monkey, the chimp at her.
Oh, bedtime for Bonzo.
Yeah, well. Yes.
Great show, Ronnie. Great show.
Thank you.
Named after the American Civil War. General William Sherman. What type of tree is the 275-foot-tall General Sherman located in one California's national park? The name of the tree.
Name of the tree. If it was named after Sherman, it's Tecumseh.
It's fine.
Wrong, you're two-legged back of anthrax.
It would be the sequoia. The redwood tree is Sherman.
What was that, a nickname? It was William Tecumseh Sherman.
Correct.
Is there a tree named Tecumseh?
No, that's William Sherman's middle name, but the tree is named General Sherman.
Did you know that?
No, but either way, I won. Let's not proceed.
Here's the last one. Who was the last president of the United States to have facial hair? This guy got this one right.
The last president to have facial hair.
Yeah.
As I go back, it was not Calvin Coolidge.
He had a mustache.
It was not.
That's your hint.
Yeah, it was Teddy Roosevelt.
Wrong, you're two-legged.
Incorrect. He actually got this one right. You barely won today. It was Howard Taft. But Bernie gets the
William
win again.
Taft. Oh, yeah, William Howard Taft, yeah.
William, who succeeded Teddy Roosevelt.
That's right. Bernie gets the win. 3-2, the final score today. Bernie, say hello, a very nice guy and a birthday boy himself, Doug Huntington, Long Island.
What's up, Doug?
Hey, Bernie. How you doing, buddy?
It could be a lot worse. Is the Duck Pond Deli still located on Route 110 in Huntington?
The Duck Pond. You know what, Bernie? I don't know that deli, but it's still
probably
there.
Gone. You know, my late sister used to live in Huntington with, she married a guy named Sal Miranda, and they had a beautiful house in Huntington. And I remember the Duck Pond Deli, and Huntington's a beautiful, beautiful town. My mother and my sister are both buried in St. Patrick's Cemetery in Huntington.
Oh, there you go. I have friends buried there, Bernie.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. It's kind of morbid, but that's a fact.
Hey, Bernie, you still looking for a gun?
Yes, I am, in a big way.
Well, there you go. Listen, I would think you could walk into any gun store with a picture of the Iron Man and say, this guy has a gun permit, and you'd walk away with an armory.
That's funny. That is funny.
Doug, that's good. On that note, we'll let you go.
Thank you, Doug. Happy birthday. We're going to come back and end the show on the phones. That's been our practice, and it's going very, very, very well. You folks like to contribute. We like to have you. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid is next.
Beat Bernie. Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
Celebrating my birthday today. We are. I do want to send some congratulations out to two of my friends who got married this weekend. Corey Zelnick to Jessica. That beautiful wedding on Saturday.
Oh, congratulations, Corey. I didn't know that.
Yeah, married man.
My man.
And my buddy Jeremy from TMZ here in New York who got married at beautiful Liberty State Park last night. So congratulations to Jeremy and his lovely wife on this birthday Monday. Take a couple of calls and wrap things up. Margie is in Spanish Harlem, Bernard, on line one. Good morning, Margie.
Hi, good morning. I love your show.
Oh, we love you. Thank you. Thank you.
A happy birthday. A lot of health and wealth.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you. That's Margie in Spanish Harlem. Bernie, let's go to Gracie in New Jersey, line five. Good morning, Gracie.
Hi, first of all, I want to wish you many, many more happy and healthy birthdays. You're really a nice guy. And
thank
I love you, Bernie, too, of course.
Thank you,
now,
guys.
Why I'm calling, you know, you said the media. The media is terrible. They're fanning the flames of disunity. My husband is making a comment about
go
the
ahead,
game. Love
news.
The game. We love the game. All right. The media is fanning the flames of disunity and hate. We know that. An example I just came across is PBS, local Channel 13, May 31st. The show they're going to celebrate is the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa racial massacre of 1921 and the 1 year, and they use the word killing. Of yeah. George Floyd.
Right.
That's all the people on the Upper East Side have to see. They're not dumb enough as they are.
Oh, we're Upper West Side, too, by the way, Gracie. Thank you for the kind words and thank you for the phone call. But don't limit it to the East Side. Where I live on the Upper West Side, they're equally as stupid.
I think she probably meant to say the Upper West Side, excuse me, because that's really where the problem is.
Bigger problem.
The hypocrites who don't want the homeless in the neighborhood. But
right.
Yeah, they're out there with the blue hair and the pussy hats and all that stuff and Black Lives Matter.
Every day, 96th Street. Mike is in Bensonhurst on line 9 this morning, Bernard. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say, boys?
How are you, Mikey?
That's it.
Listen, Sid, why are you so insecure? Why are you such a name dropper? It's your birthday. What are you, 12 years old? Python, what is...
I can't help it. I am a name dropper. I am insecure. I'm all of these things. So
that what do you hear? What do you say, Jerry? That's from Angels with Dirty Faces.
That was Mike, was that Cagney?
That was James Cagney, Humphrey Bogart, and Ann Sheridan, and what's his name? The guy who played the priest, O'Brien, something O'Brien.
Yeah, I am all those things, Mike. I'm also the co-host of a major morning show in New York City.
Don't get defensive. Don't let him ruin your day.
Debbie's in New Jersey on
line
3.
There we go.
Hi there, it's me, Debbie. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sydney. Happy birthday to you.
Well, let me thank you for that. Who has better listeners than we've got?
You feel like JFK right now?
I do.
Come on.
That was
nice. That was sweet.
Very nice, Debbie. That was a lovely rendition. I love you to pieces. John is in Manhattan on line 5. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Sid. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you.
It's Manhasset, not Manhattan.
Oh, it says Manhattan.
Manhasset.
We know Manhasset very well.
Strong Island.
Yeah. Beautiful place.
Listen, I have a small comment. You know, you talked about them looting no matter what, right? You have it wrong. They're not looting. They're shopping.
They're different. You're right. They are different.
Well,
they're shopping.
They're exacting reparations, according to Black Lives Matter.
They got it coming to them.
Yes. Exactly
they deserve
right.
it. Right. They deserve a big screen TV.
That's right. That's what the Black Lives Matter lady said. That's what she said.
I know she
that's
said
what,
it.
That's what that lowlife Hawk Newsom up in the BX who lives in an apartment with his moms.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
I know. I know. Here is Mike in Yonkers, line two, Bernard. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, Sid, good morning, and Bernie. Yeah, so after a workout this morning, you know, I turned you guys on later. And,
oh, that's right.
The first thing I heard was that clip that you played from your father. And just want you to know, I got really choked up on that.
Thank you.
So he's not here to tell you he loves you, Sid, but I'm going to tell you that I love you. And Bernie, since you're Irish and you're not into all that warm and fuzzy stuff, you're the man, too.
Thank you, Thanks, Mike. Thank you.
My man.
They know when they say they love me what a throw that is. By the way, Bernie tells me he loves me all the time. So he may be tough in the Irish, and him and his father may not exchange that regularly like me and Harvey did. But Bernie tells me he loves me all the time. Sharon Jacksonville, Florida, line one. Hi, Sharon. How are you?
I'm fine. First of all, happy birthday. I called you last year to sing you happy birthday in Polish, and I'm going to do it again.
I remember.
Make it a tradition.
I remember the old place.
I remember,
Bernie?
Yes, indeed. Yes. Hit us.
Okay. Stolat, stolat, yeg, zia, zia, nam. Stolat, stolat, yeg, zia, zia, nam. Yesteras, yesteras, yeg, zia, zia, nam. Yay, Gianam. Yay for Sid. And Bernie, too. I don't know when his birthday is.
Beautiful, Sharon. That was
thank you.
By the way, Jacksonville, Florida, the site of the first UFC fight with fans.
Is that right?
This Saturday night, Kamaru Usman versus the baddest MFR on the planet, Jorge Masvidal, big Trump supporter.
Isn't Dana White coming on with us, too?
He's coming out Friday. Fans in the stand in Jacksonville, Florida. Thank you, Governor DeSantis.
Excellent job there. Again, we'll talk to Dana about this big fight coming up. Jacksonville also, in 10 days from today, is the NFL draft. They've got the very first pick in the NFL draft with their new head coach, the former great college coach Urban Meyer. His first job ever in the pros, and they're going to select Trevor Lawrence, the great quarterback out of Clemson.
What was he apologizing for over the weekend? I kept seeing on the scroll.
Trevor?
Yeah, I was watching the UFC on ESPN. The scroll said, Trevor Lawrence says, I stand by my comments, or something like that.
I don't even know. I know we got married last week. Maybe you had people with no masks. I don't know.
Something happened. Yeah, I stand by my comments.
All right. Well, good for you. We're done for today.
That's a refreshing comment
well,
to say
that. It depends what he said.
He's no Drew Brees.
What if he says, I hate white people?
Good point, Sydney. Good point.
Thank you for all your birthday wishes, everybody. Instagram, too. Facebook and Twitter. Bernie and I both love you guys very, very, very much. Enjoy your sunny Monday in New York City until 6:30 tomorrow. Peace!